We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Okay, so it's
on the bottom. Is it on the bottom medial side of the heel? Is it on the medial side of the heel?
It's okay. I don't know what to describe it here, but it's like right here, B. It's right here. It's on the inside. So if the foot, the back of the foot, there's like that pad, if you will. It's on the inside, yep. Closer toward the middle on the inside of the left foot.
All right. So let me just tell you a little bit about the foot. So plantar fasciitis, and let me back it up a second here. The calf muscles are both the calf muscles and soleus. They anchor into the back of the bone, which is the calcaneus. So when guys like Richard Sherman, when they said that, you know, he ruptured a retrocalcaneal exostosis, that means he pulled the tendon and detached the bone. So when they talked about he went back and had elective surgery for the other foot, it's because they were trying to put bone spurs back there.
Huh.
And that's at the back of the heel. So if your cleat's rubbing up against the back of the heel, and then I'm going blind here because I'm not looking at your foot, that is, you know, you could have bone spurs back there. That's more of an insertional tendonitis, and that's where you can get kind of friction there. Now, the plantar fascia continues on the bottom of the foot. So if you actually can reach down and bend your big toe up, that medial band right in the arch area that pops.
I'm doing it.
Plantar fascia.
Yeah.
Follow that all the way back to the heel, and you're pushing on the medial plantar part of the heel where the fat pad is. That's where we get plantar fasciitis. Ironically, that's also where you can get another bone spur. They call that heel spur syndrome. So if you've had prolonged plantar fasciitis, you can actually, over time, kind of like how our body develops and builds a callus from pressure point areas, the friction that's caused by the fascia against the bone could grow a bone spur there. It's an easy find out. You get an x-ray, and a lateral x-ray will show you if you have any bone spurs there. The difference between the two is plantar fasciitis, you have to have that to have a heel spur syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Because of the constant friction. So that's going to be more when you wake up, you've got tightness, everything's a little bit sore, you take a few steps, things tend to get better. Heel spur syndrome, the more you're on your feet, the more you do. Now, hearing what you were talking about with the, you know, when you're wearing the cleats and such, cleats are very unforgiving in general.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
The metal cleats, you get a lot of pressure in that area. So just behind, and this is why, guys, it can be really complex, and you should see a specialist. Just behind that area, kind of in a little bit more of the central part of the heel, we have a bursal sac. It's called the infracalcaneal bursal sac. You can get bursitis there. And on each side of the heel, you have a
doc
nerve
is going in.
Down, the medial calcaneal nerve.
Hey, Doc, we got to make moves. Doc, call us back. Matter of fact,
hey, I need to come see you.
How about you just call us back at 7:45? We'll do the interview. We'll do the interview, Adam. Sounds like you know what you're talking
tonight.
About.
Let me just ask, I have a game tonight. Should I play?
You can. I mean, the thing is, it's bursitis and even plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
I can work through a lot of these things.
Okay.
It's a lot of ice. One of the things I like doing is I tell my patients, take a water bottle, freeze it, set it down on the bed at 90 degrees. That way we're not only the heel, but the actual arch.
I love this.
And possibly you might need a cortisone shot. You got to get better orthotics. The Dr. Shoe stuff is ridiculous.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I need a better shoe and I need a better sole. Doc, I'm going to have our producer take your information. Thank you for giving everyone in the Bay Area a foot specialist at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Brett and Rob, hang on tight, man. We got to get the king of the hill. We got to get the king
shoe
of the
me.
Hill. Oh, my God.
That was incredible.
I've got tears coming out of my eyes, man.
I might need a cortisone shot.
Come on, man. You don't need to play anymore.
Well, this is like WebMD. You look up WebMD, and you're like, actually, I need to amputate my leg.
It's Spinoni. Sorry about that. You could edit that. My bad.
Gather round, all you fanatics of sports.
I was laughing at a skittle coming down my throat.
It's time for Lord Bonte of House Hill to decree the finest 8 football teams and all the NFC. For this is King of the Hill.
Bonte, you are nobody, my dude.
On 95.7 The Game.
I got tears coming out of my eyes, man.
Number seven, power rankings, NFC, Bonte, Hills, King of the Hill.
6-5, all Comcast Business Sex Line. New segment, Therapy with Shasky. It's like, what's that? All right, let's go. Number seven, the New York Giants. They're 3-1, but it's just a matter of time before they fall flat on their face. It's Saquon, and more Saquon. At one point, Tyrod Taylor and Daniel Jones were hurt.
I saw that.
And Saquon had to run the Wildcat.
Yeah.
So and then Matt Breida was out there in the backfield. Oh, yeah. I love the throwbacks, but there's New York seven. Giants at number seven.
Yeah, number seven. All right, number six.
Minnesota Vikings. Look, I don't really believe in them. Will Lutz almost made another 60-yard field goal in London. Minnesota tried everything they could to give that game away. Kirk Cousins is like, oh my gosh, you know it's just a matter of time. Or he throws up on himself. They're the number six team in the NFC. They'll probably sneak into the playoffs because the NFC is not that strong. But number five.
Number five.
Number five.
There we go. There we go.
I don't have seven or six. Sorry.
I know. Yeah,
we know. It's the San Francisco 49ers, Spadoni. Oh, number five.
I thought it was the
number
amount of
five.
Quarter zone shots I'm going to need in the next 6 months.
You're going to need a lot. You got to stop playing, dog. You're going way too hard. Crowley's blowing groins. You're blowing. You got plantar fasciitis. It ain't worth it, old club. Right. Stop playing my guys. Don't ask me
to
play.
Just to lose to the police.
Just to lose to the cops. You lost to the cops, dude. Niners, number five.
Yeah.
They got a great chance to move up these rankings.
Yes.
Carolina, Atlanta.
Yes.
These should be winnable games for the 49ers with this defense.
Just
give me a little something on offense, because I see some trends offensively that I didn't like in the second half, and we'll talk about the defense and the offense coming up here with Baldy. But number five, the 49ers. Number four.
Number four.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tom Brady, Divorcegate. I'm uncomfortable talking about that.
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about their offensive line, how it's in shambles.
Oh, yeah.
They can't protect for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Their running game is inconsistent.
Yes.
Their defense just got torched. So I'm going to keep Tampa Bay right there at four because number three. The Green Bay Packers went down to Tampa and beat them.
Oh.
They're now 3-1, even though they didn't look good against New England. Something's amiss with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers
is called the passing game.
I mean, Christian Watson not there yet as a rookie. Yeah. They're throwing to Randall Cobb. Although Lazard's having a nice little season so far.
He's a nice player.
Six catches on week.
87 is starting to pop.
And 87 is starting to pop.
I forget
his
name.
Is that Dubs? Dobbs?
Dobbs.
Yeah, Dobbs. He scored a touchdown against Tucker this more, right?
And then Randall Cobb's having a rejuvenation as well.
There you go. All right. King of the Hill, moving along. Number two. It's going to make Daryl the Guru Johnson happy.
Oh.
Because it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
They're number two right now.
The fighting Cooper Cups?
Like, so you know what number one is. I'll group these together. Number one, Spadoni.
Number one.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow, so you got NFC East
teams in the top two. You had three NFC East teams in the top seven. How about them apples? Look. Cowboys got a defense. Michael Parsons is battling with Nick Bosa for Defensive Player of the Year. Michael Parsons is special. I love that guy. He's a baller. That defense is flying around. Offense is starting to come around with Cooper Rush. We'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. A couple big games for them. Going to SoFi Stadium to play the Rams. Let's just see how for real the Cowboys are. And then the Philadelphia Eagles. They ran for over 200 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're down 14-0. I said, oh boy, Eagles having a letdown game. They roar back with solid defense. They roar back with a running game. And Jalen Hurts did not get rattled. A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 95 yards. I love that Philadelphia Eagles team. Right now, they're the most complete team in the NFC, and I don't see anybody touching them right now. So that's my number one team.
Wow.
7, New York Giants. 6, Vikings. 5, Niners. 4, Tampa. 3, the Green Bay Packers. 2, the Dallas Cowboys. And number 1, Fly Eagles Fly. Bum, bum, bum. I don't know if the song goes like that, but it's Fly Eagles Fly. They're number 1 right now.
My man, Kate Scott's favorite team.
Oh, yeah, she can talk about a turncoat. Kate Scott, go Phillies! Go Eagles! Come on, Kate.
Turncoat. I didn't know that was in your lexicon of vocabulary.
Your boy's a former writer. I got to bring it out today.
Wow. You
got to redeem yourself from yesterday, man.
Benedict Arnold. You beat me to the punch.
That's good stuff. Look at you guys, man. Running material. We have a good day. Baldy, 7:30. Kirby gift card, 7:30. Bobby Marks, 8:30. Brett, Rob, you're on deck next. I want to get to your calls. 888-957-9570. The roast rolls along, and it will be brought to you by On Deck Small Business Loans.
Bonte and Chesky.
All right, we're going to take your calls in just a second. Baldy in 12 minutes. Kirby gift card. We're giving that away in 11 minutes. Plus Bobby Marks, 830 ESPN Cap Guru. Let us know how the Warriors can fit all this money into the budget when it comes to Jordan Poole, Wiggins. What happens with Draymond Green a little bit later? Maybe next offseason. So, got basketball on the horizon. I'm excited about basketball. The Warriors got so much talent. So, just talking with Malik, who said, we were discussing the second unit for just a second. He's like, Poole, Wiggins? If you go Poole, DiVincenzo, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, they could win 35 games. I'm like, damn, that's your second unit. They're stacked. When I say they're stacked, they're stacked.
We're going to do that again.
Big? You want to go
second
big?
Second unit against the Kings?
Dude, oh my gosh. You might get that. Don't disrespect Sacramento. I don't think Sacramento's going to make a run. I got hopes for the Kings.
A run to what?
Play a game. Oh. That's a step in the right direction for them.
It is.
You know? Don't leave Sacramento alone, man. We need that I-80. Warriors-Kings rivalry. By the way, we never came up with the trophy. D'Lo, KC, you and I.
Ah, big piece of cement.
Yeah, big piece of cement on the freeway.
I'll be taking that I-80 drive today. I'm not looking forward to it.
Are you? You going up to SAC?
Yeah, I got to jam up there. Oh. Got some things I got to take care of.
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rough, rough drive. Right after the show?
Yeah.
Oh, well, right. There won't be no traffic then.
Hopefully. But the way back, I think, is going to stink.
Yeah. Warriors, man, they look good on paper. Good. All right, let's get back to some calls here. We'll get back to the Niners in just a second.
Did you see the Deebo Samuel thing on the internet?
Of course. We just talked about it.
I think we should play it for the audience after we take some calls.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to play because it's on the internet. Yeah, it's Spinotti, you saw it. I don't know if it's going to translate to radio. But basically, he sent the post on IG. He had his little slide.
Well, Jalen Ramsey had it on the sidelines a couple of weeks. A
couple years ago, was saying, I'm him.
Yes.
I'm him. And then Deebo's like, oh? And then they show the play of him breaking Jalen Ramsey's tackle.
With the Taco Bell ding.
Right, ding.
And then Bonte got so hungry.
Yeah, I mean, I get hungry just thinking about food. I'm thinking about the Gordita Crunch now. He loved me. You want to order some Taco Bell?
So damn good.
It was interesting.
That was after a gym workout, by the way.
Oh, well.
And you know how the Gary lets you off right at 6 and Gary?
Yeah, 38.
The 38 Gary lets you off right in front of KFC Taco Bell. And it's like you get off that bus, you're like, damn. All right, I'm probably not leaving the house again. Should I just grab the KFC right now, or should I just wait and just try to make something? Or which didn't happen. I probably ordered some food, but yeah, Taco Bell is good, man. It is good.
It's just interesting to see Deebo go right at Jalen Ramsey like that.
It is pretty cool.
These two clearly don't like each other.
No, it's but then
we I had do Ram, love it.
Yeah, I love it, and then you had Ramfez tweet back because Sterling Bennett had a viral tweet basically calling the Rams little brothers.
Oh,
and all the Rams fans did was post Deebo Samuel crying during the NFC Championship game. So I look, the Rams, they're not that good to me right now. They're not. Now
I'm not burying them.
I'm not going to bury them because they will make moves. But they got the one game that I wanted. I would trade 7 straight regular season wins for that one win in the championship game. So I'm not going to come down to Rams fans' road. They got the Super Bowl. They got the Super Bowl. And we were sitting here hate watching the Bengals-Rams Super Bowl. Couldn't even enjoy it.
I don't even want to think about it.
All right, let's go to Brett in San Rafael. He's listening on the radio. Dude, hey. With the Rob and Sam Bruto. Brett, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on Chasky's injury. I played softball at all the fields, Moscone and Albert Park in San Rafael. And we were playing in Berkeley at the Underhill field, which got a huge fence around it.
Nice.
And basically, we needed another player, so I was working with Dan Dibley.
Oh.
We got Dan Dibley out there. We had a great team. We had actually a player that played in the major leagues. His son might be on the Lions. Anyway, that guy hit one to right center. It was a championship game. Dan scales the fence like Spider-Man, makes the greatest catch in the history of our team.
Wow.
And he will remember that if you ask him.
Wow. I'm assuming Jared Goff's dad was on his team.
He was amazing fill-in player.
Oh, nice.
And Dan will go down as one of our MVPs that year. We won the championship over the Tokyo Giants at the Berkeley Underhill.
Wow.
So that's a little footnote for yourself. I would take it easy on that heel. I retired at very early age because I had a lot of injuries, but we had a great team, great times back there at the Flatiron
bar
after our games.
I love it.
Thursday night.
I love it.
Look, part of being a great athlete and a competitor, got to know when to shut it down. I think you got to know when to shut it down. You got to know when enough is enough.
As I told my dad the other day, I'm going to play as long as he's playing.
Well, it's like a boxer, right? Taking that extra fight, Spinotti. You get that boxer, you take that last fight.
I think Shasty's got some Tom Brady in him. You know what? He'll hang it up when he wants to on his terms. It might not end well in the personal life, but you know what? Michelle keep pushing on.
Michelle be damned.
Michelle be damned. I'm going to play in this softball game.
She's going to kill me.
Oh, man. You know, she probably gets all the tea leaves from this show. I'm pretty sure she does. Rob in San Bruno listening on the radio. Rob, what is happening, my man?
Good morning, my brothers. Hey, Butcher Boy, man, don't let them talk you out of that, man. Keep it up.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? You want to go hoop? You want to go play baseball, man? Keep it to the knees, fall off. Don't let them talk to you. And Bonte, you too big not to be on the court posting these jump shooters up getting easy hoops, man. I don't understand that.
No, Rob, they used to call me the poor man Tim Duncan in high school. That's what they called me.
You still supposed to be doing that now.
Well,
jump shooters.
Hey, man, Rob, they call him Tim Duncan because he wears Tim Duncan size jeans still to this day.
I want to comment on the Jimmy G thing, how they was coming at you yesterday. Look, I come to a realization that he is what he is. I was telling y'all this back in 2019. He is what he is. So the games we lose with him playing like he played that past week, which is solid, we got to live with it. If we win, we got to live with it. So,
no doubt.
And then a lot of these Jimmy G fans, because everything about the quarterback. So they got this fanization about Jimmy G leading the charge, our quarterback, but he's not that guy like that. They're not in touch with reality. The reality is he's more of a better Trent Dilfer situation. If he plays well, we almost going to win. If he plays great, we going to win. The thing is, he's not going to play great. More games than you're going to play average. So, we is what we is.
Well, so. I think, Rob, what's interesting is that it depends on what the team needs week to week, right? So, for example, they're playing Carolina this week.
Right.
Now, going into it, you'd say, I don't need to have a monster Jimmy G game to beat Carolina. But we don't know how this one's going to play out.
Right.
Does the special teams drop the ball like they did the other day, and the other team picks it up and they get seven points, and you're chasing early?
How's Carolina going to game plan for the Niners?
I don't know.
The Niners showed a ton of wide receiver screens.
Yeah.
E in San Jose or E in Sevitel came down my road about the screens.
Mm-hmm.
Niners did a great day. Ray, wide receiver screens all day long. All day long, Monday Night Football. Carolina's going to say, we need to take that away. We know the screen is coming. We need to take it away and make Jimmy throw down the field. At some point, he's going to have to. They're going to adjust. How did the 49ers adjust? Do they run the ball a little bit more? I still think the defense early on, because we're seeing a lot of these defenses just play suffocating football.
Yeah.
They're going to have to carry the load early. You're going to have to sack Mayfield. You got to play the field position game, take your 3 points. If Shanahan doesn't go for it on the 4th-and-1 this week, I'm not going to be outraged. Just get points. Go out of there with the win. I don't care if it's 19-13, 19-11. I just want to win games.
Yeah, just keep winning.
Stack wins.
Well, that's why I think yesterday a lot of people were just so happy because of winning the way that they did, going away. And then, of course, you start to think, God, if they would have just played like this a little bit better on offense on the Sunday night the week before, they could be sitting here 3-1. But, hey, look, they're 2-2 after a quarter of the season,
Tied for first.
And they've got a couple of real games that you would think that they could win. Carolina and Atlanta, and then you got the Chiefs. That feels like one of the bigger tests defensively for this unit. And then the good thing about the Atlanta, it looks like the Cordell Patterson's going to be out for a couple weeks.
He's
going to
be out for a while, and they've been running the ball heavy, and Kyle Pitts hasn't done anything yet for the Falcons. Did you know this? In his last 8 games, George Kittle, 21 catches, 220 yards, and a touchdown.
I don't know what's going on there. Like,
we're going to ask Baldy because he sent the question out saying, do they game plan for ball? Think about that. Last 8 games, George Kittle, 21 catches, 220 yards. And then you look at the offense in the second halves, and they're scoring 3. They score what? 3 against Chicago.
Uh-huh.
They score against Seattle in that second half. Or they score 10, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, they score 3. And then last week, they score 3 in the second half. The offense, that is.
Mm-hmm.
The offense.
Mm-hmm.
So offensively, you know, this defense is playing at a high, high level. They scored 7 in week 2 in the second half. The offense did. At some point, the offense is going to have to help this defense out. Because one thing I get concerned about, Lubman brought this up on a producer call yesterday. Remember the Denver game? They played 20 minutes. The defense played 20 of the 30 minutes of that second half in that altitude.
Mm-hmm.
They were gassed. It was a matter of time for Russell Wilson broke through in that football game. at some point, and the Rams controlled type of possession on Monday Night Football. 35 minutes they held the ball. 35 minutes, just like the NFC Championship game when they held the ball for 35 minutes. At some point, the offense is going to have to help this defense out. You know, they're going to have to sustain drives. Now, they did a lot better on Monday Night Football, converting third downs. They converted 5 of the 12 third downs after going 1 for 10 Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. But at some point, this offense is going to have to do something in the second half, because I don't know how much you could continue to lean on this defense week after week of stifling these offenses in the NFL, especially when it's so easy to get yards.
Yeah, they're going to have to absolutely play a better complementary brand of football and hopefully start to gash teams down the field a little. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, just a little here and there. You know, I outside of the throw over the top at the end of the second quarter, did they throw anything over 25 yards? I know the throw to Kittle felt like it was a deeper throw.
Right.
Compared to some of their other throws. I think they threw a couple of in routes to Jennings and Ayuk, but they're not stretching the field. And yes, at some point they're going to have to. I mean,
they're going to have to.
There's no doubt. The other thing is, I'm wondering, can they get even more juice in the run game? I know they ran the ball pretty well with Jeff Wilson Jr., but is there somebody else who could touch the rock back there and give them, you know, a change of pace?
Yeah.
That's a question that I have moving forward. It's a lot of workload for Jeff Wilson Jr. It's not like he's one of these apex backs that's going to be able to take that pounding.
I think we're going to see Marlon Mack or Tevin Coleman at some point. We haven't seen Jordan Mason. Everybody wants to see Jordan Mason. I don't know if Shanahan feels comfortable with the undrafted rookie carrying the ball. We'll see about that. But before we get the ball, let's give out this gift card, $200, a Kirby gift card. Go get your car wash, get your oil change, get your tires changed, get your engine fixed. When you heard the sound, there'd be caller number 5 right now, 415-951-2386. That's 415-951-2386. And you, my friend, will win a $200 Kirby gift card. Now, we get to the meat. A lot of people missed him yesterday. A lot of people missed him, but he's back, baby. He's here on a Wednesday at 7:30. It's Brian Baldinger.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And he's in rare form today. He's got the green t-shirt on. He's got the bandana. He's sipping coffee. He's breaking it down better than anybody out there at Baldy NFL on Twitter. He's got so many breakdowns. You can just spend hours on his timeline. Like Shask and I were talking about your Quinton Williams breakdown. And the Jets are forced to fourth down. And Baldy's just like, fourth down, fist up in the air, gangrene. I'm just like, I'm ready to run through a wall, man. This guy's on fire. But then, of course, he broke down the Niners on Monday Night Football. We'll get to Nick Bosa. Actually, let's start with Nick Bosa and his defense. And we'll get to the offense in just a second, because he has some very interesting tweets Monday night about the 49ers offense. But Baldy, this defense, man, they're electric on all three levels, man. Hufanga, Bosa, Frank Warner Jr., Drake Greenlaw, 15 tackles. What a performance on Monday night against the Rams.
Well, that's how they beat the Rams, you know, and how they have been beating them. I mean, they physically beat them up, and they whip them. It starts up front. But there's stats for everything, but you don't even have to look at the stats. Just watch them play. I mean, nobody plays the game faster than the 11 guys on the field for the 49ers. They're so coordinated. They run. They just sprint to the ball every play. Fred Warner's the quarterback. He gets it all started. He's got everybody lined up. But they play. They're so coordinated. They simply don't break down. They don't give you anything. They don't give you a free down. They don't give you a free first down. You have to earn everything you get. And that's what they did. I mean, the middle of the field is the most valuable real estate in a football game. And they just are no-fly zone in the middle of the field. They try to throw it to Cooper Kupp down there in the red zone. They just shut it off. Mm. And so the corners can't play any better than they did.
Mm.
I mean, Allen Robinson's a non-factor. Charvarius Ward just completely locked him up. You know, there's no third option. And so they're really good. They're eight front. They're eight deep up front. They all kind of feed each other. They put a fifth man into the rush a bunch with Greenlaw and Freddie Warner. They love doing that. They love being a fifth guy added to the rush. But that's about all they did. Otherwise, they kept everything in front of them all night.
Yeah, I felt like Greenlaw was flying around. I was getting vibes of Navarro Bowman, the way he was splitting through and wrapping up. I want to start with Bosa because, you know, I got an affinity for this guy. Sure. And I saw multiple times where they ran this like stunt where he came free through the middle. And I don't remember remember them running this type of a play. Maybe they have, and I haven't noticed it. He was outstanding. If you would have told me, Joe, he hit the quarterback 22 times, I would have believed you in that game. He's outstanding, Baldy, but it's not just him. That whole defensive line felt like they were caving in the O-line, but it starts with Bosa.
It does start with Nick. He played a very high percentage of the snaps, played like 57 snaps. I was on the field a bunch. But that stunt you're talking about, it's a lot of teams are doing it now. They overload one side, and they run what we call a limbo, tango. They're just coming around. The two guys that are driving, in that case, I think it was Givens and Armstead. And, I mean, it's just like, I called it a demolition derby, but, like, bodies are just flying. They're just getting mangled in there, and Bosa's coming free. And really, I mean, Stafford is, he's crafty. He knows how to kind of keep a play alive. He's not going to run away from anybody. He took his share of shots that night, kept kind of firing. But it does start with Nick. He's just a relentless player. He looks like a jetliner taking off. He's got a flat back. You could put a grand piano on it. He'd walk right up, 20 flights of stairs. Like that type of leverage, I don't care if you're Joseph, Noteboom, Hagenstein, but pick a tackle. Like, you're going to have a hard time stopping him from crushing the pocket.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Joins us usually every single Tuesday at 7:30, but this week with Monday Night Football, we moved him to Wednesday. Speaking of the defense here, DeMeco Ryans. And I know a lot of NFL teams like to hire offensive-minded coaches, but it sure seems like DeMeco's getting in line for a head coaching job at least next season. He's flying around the sidelines. He's chest-bumping players. His energy's contagious. And like you said, Baldy, they're blitzing a little bit. Slot corner blitzes. I saw Lenore blitz. I saw Hufanga come from the safety spot blitzing. Can you talk about what DeMeco Ryans has done and what's the difference between his defense and maybe a Robert Saleh coach defense when he was with the 49ers?
Well, I think this defense is better. I think it's better personnel. Dre Greenlaw is now a full-time starter, and his speed is noticeable. I mean, Freddie Warner, I mean, I'm just going to knock on wood right now, guys. I mean, I've never seen him miss a game. And that goes back. He told me he'd never missed a game in high school, never missed a game at BYU. He's never missed a game at the 49ers.
Wow.
Like, his ability to line up and play every single game. Is you can't, it's like, it's like your quarterback. You want your quarterback just to be there every single week. Your middle linebacker is there every week. It's the same thing. Like, he's got them all coordinated. He's actually pointing in the middle of plays as, Cooper Kupp comes in motion. He's like, he's telling everybody where it's going. Like, he already knows where it's going. He already knows what the play is because you know the formation, you know the play. It's like, it's like learning the alphabet. It's once you get it, you got it. Like, you're just never going to forget it, forwards or backwards. So, like, it starts there, but then what Hufanga is doing right now is ridiculous. Like, because they just play the game so fast. There's no blinking. There's no, okay, like, sometimes you always say, well, indecision leads to, big plays. Well, there's no indecision. And that falls directly on DeMeco Ryans. That means whatever they're talking about in their meetings, in their breakouts, their walkthroughs, their practice, they're taking it to the field. And not everybody can do that. And so they are completely in lockstep with everybody else. And the Rams do a lot at them, believe me. Formations, plays, they did a lot, motions. They do a lot. They're good. And they just, keep that team out of the end zone. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, you bring up Hufanga there, and like, he's just so intoxicating to watch because he's moving all around and he times a blitz. Even though he doesn't get home on the blitz, you just see the speed, and everyone's going to point to the interception, and I'll let you break that one down because that was an unbelievable play by him. There was a play earlier, and Bosa almost got a sack. Stafford stepped up. He wanted to throw to Cooper Kupp multiple times, and Hufanga kind of like read the play and just got right in front of the passing lane and forced Stafford to kind of throw it out of bounds. There was no angle to throw it. And I thought, man, that's a hell of a play right there. That maybe doesn't show up as like an interception or a blown up tackle. Just an instinctual play where he saw the play developing. Like, he is developing in front of our eyes. How good is this kid?
Well, you said the word instincts, Joe. So a lot of guys have some instincts for the ball and for where plays are going. And sometimes they trust them, and they become really good players. And then sometimes coaches take that out of them because they're not disciplined. Mm-hmm. They're not doing this. They're not in the right area. Like, I mean, like, Ed Reed's the greatest free safety we've ever seen. But Fred, to Baltimore's credit, Rex Ryan, guys that coached him, like, they let him just play with his instincts. And he might be completely out of the play sometimes, but the instincts won for you. And I think when I watch Hufanga, I feel like his instincts, you have to let him go. Like, even if he makes a mistake, like, and people are comparing him to Polamalu, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, Polamalu had that. Mm-hmm. You go, how can he be leaping over the offensive line to make the tackle and still be responsible for the back third? Like, how can you do that? Like, you have to let these guys go. Like, the interception is, you know, here comes Tyler Higbee in motion. All right, and he's basically coming there to get set. It's man coverage, so Hufanga goes with him. He drops down, and Hufanga reads the angle that Tyler Higbee is going to pick
right.
for Cooper Kupp, because the play's for Kupp. So he sees the angle. He knows it's not a route. It's not a wheel.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's not one of these type of double moves or anything like that. He knows he's doing one thing, and that's to go pick for Cooper. And as soon as he did it, he just trusts his instincts. Now, if he runs a wheel, there's nobody covering a wheel. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
like you're going to get burned, and the Rams are going to be tying the game up at that point. But his instinct said it's not a wheel. It's a pick. And that's why he jumped it. And then the other part of anybody that has good ball skills is they have unbelievably fast eyes.
Mm.
They locate the ball fast, like a great hitter. They can see the spin of the ball. They recognize the ball, you know, and their eyes are on it. And then their hands follow. So quick eyes, fast hands. Like, that's what you see from that play.
Yeah, Hufanga's playing at a high, high level right now. Should get consideration for Defensive Player of the Month in the NFC. Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Let's go over to the offensive side of the football. Look, they did enough to win the football game. Did not turn the ball over. Not a lot of penalties. It kept Jimmy Garoppolo upright for the most part. But you had a tweet about George Kittle that we all find intriguing, Baldy. You were thinking, you tweeted out Monday night, do they even call plays for George Kittle? And you look at his last eight games, 21 catches, 220 yards, one touchdown in the last eight for George Kittle, one of the best, what we think, tight ends in all of football. What are you seeing on film? Is George Kittle blocking? Are they not designing plays? Is it on the quarterback? We're trying to figure out this mystery on why number 85 is not touching the rock.
Well, the first half, he wasn't involved in one single pass. I mean, he was basically the extra blocker, you know, whether it was on some kind of a hit screen where he's just going out there to pick somebody, whether it was staying in to protect with the tackle, whether it's McKivitz or Moore. You know, I mean, he was just a blocker for the most part. I feel like this is just me. I don't know what happened at halftime. I feel like at halftime, Kyle said to him, we're going to call your number here. And like second play of the half, they called his number on a little curl, 20 yards, first down. You know, the thing, you know, and what I kind of get, the reason why I did it was, you know, they ran the go route on the outside to Warner, Charlie. And I'm like, and Kittle's blocking, and Warner's running the route. And I'm going, this is backwards. Like, Kittle gets to that ball. He actually gets to that ball with his speed and his burst. Like, Charlie can't, okay? So why isn't Charlie being the extra guy blocking? Why isn't Kittle running that route? Now, you can say, okay, it's by disguise. And nah, baloney. Like, let that guy go win.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing about George, and we haven't seen much of it, obviously. He's got, what, six catches?
Yeah.
Is, you know, his old offense, his old tight end coach told him, he goes, don't ever let one guy bring you down. Like, it was a mentality. Like, don't go out of bounds, and one guy's not bringing you down. You're too big, you're too explosive, you're too strong. And so we haven't seen that from George, but that's when he set the record for receiving yards by a tight end or, you know, whatever he did that year. Like, it was after the catch. Like, that guy can go, just like we saw Debo do the other day. Now, he could do the same thing, but you have to, you got to target him. You got to call his number. We see tight ends get targeted all the time.
All the time.
Mo Alley Cox caught two touchdown passes. Wow. Jelani Woods caught two the week before. I could go through the whole list
Kelsey.
Of tight ends in this league. You know, but like, you got to call his number.
Well, so then Baldy, because I get frustrated because I know he's a great blocker and I get all that, but I'm paying him to catch the ball as well. So when people say to you, but he's such a great inline blocker, they don't have Trent Williams. He's got to stay in. You played the game. You were an offensive lineman. What's your counter to that?
So I asked a coach one time, why is tight ends block like crap? And he goes, because, you know, people can't honor two gods. Like, you're either going to be a receiver or you're going to be a blocker.
Huh.
So Travis Kelce blocks a little bit. He gets in the way of some people every once in a while, pointed out. But he's an elite route runner.
Absolutely.
And receiver. But they've got three other tight ends that do all the inline blocking when they need that. When they want to finish the game out, four-minute drill. Like, they got him on the backside. He's not going to get involved. But to George's, like, to his credit, and why he never really ever seemingly complains about any of this, and it's hard to complain when you whip the Rams like they did and you win right. the game and, you know, you're back in the winning column, so it's hard to say anything. But that's his curse, is he's a great blocker. And that's part of, you know, playing at Iowa. At Iowa, you're right. going to get on the field, you better learn how to block.
No doubt.
And, you know, that's how he got on the field at Iowa.
But we've seen his Iowa brethren, T.J. Hockenson, score two touchdowns. You talk yeah. about tight ends, Baldy. He went down the list. He had a monster day against the Seattle Seahawks
yep.
last Sunday. Baldy on the morning roast here on 95.7 The Game. Deebo Samuel, special player. I mean, Shasky and I have been kind of going back and forth on how to get him the ball. You know, the running play, it looks like you said last week, Baldy, the offense looks stale, right? You're giving Deebo the ball in the backfield. He's running up against eight-man boxes. But getting him out on the perimeter against DBs, that's a nightmare for the secondary. And we saw what we saw Monday Night Football on that wide receiver screen. Great downfield blocking, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. But Deebo is a special, special player when he gets the ball in space.
Well, it's a mentality. It's his mentality. It's why we love him. It's why we love watching him. It's like we love every time the ball goes to him, because you never know when you're just going to see some kind of, you know, an Aaron Judge home run on mm-hmm. just about, you know, any given play that he touches the ball. That's what you're kind of holding your breath on. And when he started crossing field like that, you know, on the Ventura Freeway, going from the left lane to the right lane, you know, you're like, here he goes. Like, yep. he might do this. Like, you're kind of, like, you're right there in step with him all the way across the way. I don't know what Jalen Ramsey was doing. He's trying to take his shoe off or something, but ran right through that tackle. I mean, it was unbelievable. And look, they didn't have to do a lot when Wilson goes up the middle for that touchdown run, 38 yards, and it was perfectly blocked play and kind of a new play for them. They haven't really showed that much. And, you know, I thought they played really well. These guys, I mean, you didn't hear Aaron Donald's name at all. Leonard Floyd, like those guys, they really played their best game overall up front. It was, and, you know, you're playing without Trent mm-hmm. against that front, and you do that, and you keep Jimmy upright. That's an unbelievable day for that group.
Well, what is that offensive line doing that you're seeing? Because, I mean, let's be honest, it's probably the most scrutinized part of the team outside of the quarterback because of all the inexperience. So, like, are there a particular player or is there something that they're doing to kind of negate? Because I don't understand the Aaron Donald thing. He was so good in that fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, and they erased him.
Well, in order to... I mean, they had one breakdown up front, which is mind-boggling.
No one touched him.
To Jimmy's credit, he got the ball out of his hands, saved his sack, saved intentional grounding. But outside of that, you know, what they did was, in order to defeat Aaron Donald or limit him, you have to do it as a group. It's not one guy. Mm. It's never one guy. It's a group. It's a group effort. It's not like you're designing your offense and your running game to eliminate him. You do it in tangent together. And I thought, you know, watch. And then, you know, guys lined up on him and blocked him. I mean, Banks lined up on him. He blocked him when he had to a couple times and, you know, didn't get beat quickly. You know, I thought they played, you know, Jalen came in there. I thought they battled just really, really well all game long. And they do a lot of different things, you know, the Rams, and nothing really fooled them. Like, they weren't fooled. Blitzes or fronts and things that they do, because they change up a lot. It's not like it's just static group right. where they're just a four-man front.
Yeah.
They do a lot. Like, nothing really confused them.
Yeah, we'll get to the Rams, the second matchup, in a little bit later. They play again in a month. Of course, the Niners are going out to Carolina. Then they play Atlanta on the road. Let's look at Carolina, look ahead to them. Baker Mayfield struggling. That offense is struggling. I still respect their defense, but Carolina seems like they're stuck in mud here. What's going on with the Panthers, and what do the Niners, obviously they have to avoid turnovers, but what's the one thing they should be worried about when it comes to the Carolina Panthers this next Sunday?
Well, I mean, just that. Like, is Baker going to wake up and ever become Baker? You know, like it's like what Jimmy said after the loss last week. Like, you know, I need training camp. I need this. I need, you know, like I can't just come off and just the rust is going to be gone. And when you watch Baker, you know, I mean, he was hurt at the end of the last year, had no offseason anywhere, get signed in July, never met some of the guys that he's in the huddle with until he went to training camp. Mm-hmm. And then he's learning a new offense. And everybody's learning a new offense. New offense coordinator, everybody's learning. And I think he threw 12 passes in preseason. So, like, he had no preseason, and now you're playing these games. And, you know, he's really struggling. And the 49ers' job is to make sure they keep struggling. Because I know Baker a long, long time. I remember when he was a walk-on freshman at Texas Tech. And, like, that guy is a highly, highly competitive kid, and he throws a good deep ball, and you just don't see it yet. And so that's what you got to caution yourself in. Like, you can't – like, if I was the 49ers, honestly – I'd probably watch very little film this week because you're going to say, like, oh, they're not good. And, you know, like they beat themselves. And if we just play, you know, you just play halfway decent, they're not going to penetrate. Like, I wouldn't even, like, mess with it too much.
Wow.
Like, I would just try to, I wouldn't put any thoughts in my head going across the country that we're going to play a bad football team. Defensively, they have a lot of playmakers. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Number 49 is Frankie Louvu. Like, I know Frankie was with the Jets. He's been bouncing around the league. The guy's a star. Pick six last week. Like, they've got players. Brian Burns can make you look bad, real bad. You know, Derrick Brown is an immovable object in the middle. I mean, their corners play press man coverage. Their defense coordinator, you know, Snow, like, that guy can design blitzes with the best of them. They can make you look bad if you're not really sharp. I mean, they're just capable of, that's the NFL.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. When you look at the 49ers in the NFC West, in the NFC as a whole, where do you think they stack up a quarter away through the season?
Well, the way this defense is playing right now, Joe, like, they're the best. They're the best team. Like, they're out front of everybody. Nobody's playing defense like this. Now, can you maintain this for 17 weeks? Can you stay reasonably healthy? All those kind of things that you got to do. You know, it's just hard to score against them. I mean, look, they got a kind of a touchdown by Dante Pettis back in that monsoon against Chicago when, like, that's the type of player, Justin Fields, a guy that can really move, extend plays, Kyler Murray, those guys that can extend plays and break the foundation of your defense down by holding the ball for 4, 5, 6 seconds and then taking a moonshot across the field to somebody that you didn't plaster. Like, those are the type of plays or players that can hurt this defense.
All right, Baldy, where are you going to be next weekend? The fans want to know. I want to know where you at. You were in Vegas last week shaking heads with Josh Jacobs. You gave him the magic touch. He ran all over the Broncos.
Yeah, I told him, man.
Awesome.
I told Max. Max jumped in my back coming out of the tunnel. I said, if you don't get two today, I'm not doing any more videos on you. Like, it's like, go get two. So he took over the second half. I'm in Cleveland. Chargers in Cleveland.
Sneaky good game there. Nick Chubb.
Yeah, it's good game. Chubb. Good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. League's best right now. Like, nobody's running the ball like Chubb.
Wow, Chubb, and you get to see Justin Herbert and Eckler winning in Houston last week. They're trying to get on track, man. Big game. NFL, a lot of parity so far this year. Although, I think the Philly Eagles, as you're breaking them down, Baldy, they look good on both sides of the football.
Baldy, you look like you're about to go do CrossFit. Yeah, if you're looking on the YouTube chat right now, the guy's got, it's like a technicolored bandana with the lime green shirt.
He's about to work out with Lane Johnson. You going down with Lane?
I'll be over at Lane's house today. We got power. Like, he's at practice today, so I got the whole barn to myself. I can do whatever I want. We'll just crank up ACDC and throw as much iron around as I possibly can handle.
Baldy, you're the man. You're the man. Have fun in Cleveland, Ohio, Baldy. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
See you guys.
All right, man. Brian Baldy, the best. At Baldy NFL. Can't wait for him to come to the Bay Area. Baldy breaking it down. He breaks down everything. And let's react to it. 888-957-9570. Roasters. Baldy just broke down his defense. The immovable object. Well, Deebo Samuel's going to join Damon and Rhino today at 4:45.
That's cool.
4:45, Deebo Samuel all with Damon and Rhino. Look at that. I know Damon's going to do the damn
thing. There's going to be like 3 or 4 great Damon questions, and then you're going to get the random... What do you think about the AFC East from Ray?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
You think Debo knows who's in the AFC East?
Does Shad Khan want to move the team to London?
David's definitely going to bring up the Instagram stuff. No doubt. No doubt, right?
Why not? You know, I love the Jalen Ramsey Debo thing. When we think about some of the great rivalries between wide receivers and DBs, it starts in our own backyard.
Yeah.
Deion and Rice went
at it for years. I remember when Tim McKeir came to the Niners.
And he was talking mad stuff.
Crazy.
Oh, when he became a Falcon? Remember he was a Falcon?
Well, I think he was a Dolphin first, then a Niner, then a Falcon,
right?
Yeah,
because he went to the Falcons and he really wanted to stick
wrong. I could have the sequence wrong. No, I know he was a Dolphin, a Niner, and a Falcon.
He wanted to stick it to the Niners, and he would talk so much smack.
Remember him?
Oh, do I ever?
He was solid, though.
Tim McKeir was a good player.
Like, give it to me. I know you're looking at
59 years old. I am looking at it right now.
So what was it?
So he started off
first
as a Niner, won a Super Bowl.
Oh, he was a Niner first.
Three-time Super Bowl champ.
Okay.
Tim McKeir, okay. 86 to 89.
Yeah.
Then he was a Dolphin.
See?
And then he went to the Falcons. I thought he was a Falcon longer. Oh, yeah. Then he bounced around the league. He went to Detroit, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Atlanta.
I remember he was a
back
Dolphin.
Back to Atlanta. Oh, he won a Super Bowl with Denver in 97.
But they would go at it. And then, obviously, famously, when Deion signs with the Niners, him and Rice would go at it at practice. But Andre Rison and Deion Sanders go at it.
Classic Georgia
and then
Dome.
They're punching each other. And then Deion picks off that ball and does high-stepping for like 38 yards.
All in front of the Falcons sideline. Was talking the whole way. And then after the game, he goes, "How you gonna disrespect me in my house? I built this house.
Everybody doing the gritty. My house. I'm telling you, the Deion dance
is the best thing ever
of all time.
It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. All right, injury report in just a second.
Whose house? My house. Dude,
Chris Berman. I remember when he used to show primetime, and they used to show him in all the different uniforms: Falcons, Niners, Cowboys. And when he became when he started playing for Washington, and Chris Berman would be like, primetime. Prime time. And then he returned a putt and he's high stepping 5 yards away from that dance is legendary.
Injury report time.
All right, sorry. I got to hit a riff about Deion Sanders. I'm in a good mood today.
I know, I love it.
I was actually happy yesterday too. Victory Tuesday.
Am I on this injury report?
No, you're not. You should be. That would be actually be pretty funny. Sam Lubman. Write it down.
That'll be tomorrow's injury report.
There you go, because there's no Giants on this injury report, thank the heavens. Their season's done today. They're trying to battle
on the IR.
They're trying to battle for 500. Good luck watching that game. 1:10 first pitch. Who cares at Petco Park? Nobody cares. By the way, I saw Crooked Kite yesterday. They said hello to you, Shasky.
Nice.
I'm lying. They said hello. Bad beats continue for the 49ers offensive line. Colt McKivitz, who had been starting at left tackle with Trent Williams out, he suffered an MCL sprain during the Niners Monday night win over the Rams. Head coach Kyle Shanahan compared the injury to the one suffered by linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair and, of course, Elijah Mitchell. He's going to be out for a while. Expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
And that is your injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game, sponsored by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Bobby Marks at 8:30 to talk a little Dubs basketball and contracts. We'll transition to the Dubs, but 888-957-9570, Comcast Business Text Line and the phone line. What are your thoughts on what Baldy said about Debo? The defense. Can his defense carry the offense? Because I'm a little worried now about this Carolina game after hearing from Baldy. I want to hear from the roasters out there. 888-957-9570. The roast will be back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.